support and management expert at the public library, who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring. And Counts, you're doing a wonderful job cooperating.
We love our brothers and sisters in blue, and we couldn't do our job without their support. So.
Yeah, that is something I've noticed now that I'm retired from the day job and actually out in the community a little bit more, is how many times you see a rescue squad, a fire truck, and one or two police officers, depending as needed, to control. And I can understand where that really does have to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. Public safety is a team sport, right? So we need more than one organization, and we combine together to just provide that umbrella to the community.
And today we're talking about the fire side of the organizations, and I always like to...
And fire prevention. And on the fire prevention side, we do building inspections, plan reviews, public education piece. All of our firefighters, they're cross-trained. So they're either firefighters, EMTs, or firefighter paramedics. And they're cross-trained to run on each of our fields. Station 4 is our maintenance facility, and that's where you'll find the maintenance bays there. They have a great facility out there at the new Station 4 on 60th Street. So that's where maintenance is, and they will go to different areas if they are needed, if they have to go out and get on the road and go to where the rig is. They will do that. They also support us logistically if there's a fire and we need something. More air bottles, fuel.
People to work with in a very important job. Can we talk a bit about the line workers? And, okay, there's a kitchen fire. What happens? They call 911.
Sure. 911. So I'll start just by talking about our daily minimum staffing. So I just told you, we have 163 staffed crash rescue vehicle that's out at the airport. And so how we staff that is the people that are assigned to Med 7 for the day. If a crash rescue call came in, they would leave Med 7, put their gear on the P-19, which is our rescue truck, and they would take the call on the crash rescue rig. And then we also have, you know, two reserve engines, two med units, and a truck in reserve. And we can flex that based on an event. Over the 4th of July, a lot was going on, so we put extra rigs into service.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so we hire overtime, put them in the service. So, and then those people are distributed. We have 5 stations in the city and 1 administered fire. Then you're going to get additional resources. You're going to get the 2 engines. You'll get a ladder truck. You'll get a med unit, and the battalion chief are going to show up. Once they know it's actually a working fire, then we call our RIT team. And what our RIT team is, it's called a rapid intervention team.
Ah.
And they rescue the rescuers. So a lot of times people see firefighters and they're like, well, there's just a group standing there outside and they're not doing anything, right? Well, their purpose is to do exactly that. They're standing outside. They're ready. They have their equipment ready. And in case one of us has a mayday on an interior of the call, they are the team that's going to go in and affect the rescue of those crews. So
that's that. Now just kind of makes sense when things get down to the point where they have everything under control. They're just closing it down.
They'll start wrapping up the call. They'll start doing their overhaul operations. And as that happens, the battalion chief that's in charge, he's going to start releasing units because we don't want everybody tied up at that scene. So that's going to be an increase in our call volume. Another issue is our city development. So Mayor Interamian and Mayor Bogdala, they're doing a great job to make this a city that people want to, you know, to work in, people want to play in. We have great expansion of Kenosha, right? It's a great community. We have the Kin District. We have the downtown development. We have the possible casino on the community. We continue to grow and expand internally. And that, of course, is going to be increased calls for service. And we make sure that we're growing to meet those needs. And then finally, another point is we have a lot to offer. So it's not just the people that live here. Kenosha is a great community. I think our lakefront, second to none, especially in Wisconsin. And so people come here. They come here for our festivals. They come here for our fireworks. They come here for, you know, lakefront events. And then that increased draw of people, again, increase in service for calls. So,
yeah, I would think that the summer – visitors really would generate some of that, especially along, like you say, the lakefront, the beaches. Unfortunately, we have some water safety issues. And I do want to talk a lot about your fire prevention or just prevention in general. I know you're involved with the water safety. While I still would like to revisit your growth in terms of demand, let's talk about what you do on that fire prevention and community education point.
Yeah, sure. So that's a great piece of what we do as a fire department, right? So we have our fire prevention bureau. It's staffed by there's multiple people living in the home, more than two families with like shared access, right? So if it's a duplex that has private access, we're not going to get into there and do an inspection. However, all of the other buildings are inspected. They're inspected twice annually. Make sure that you're in compliance with all of the current codes and with all the regulations. And in addition to that, if you're going to build a new building, all of those plans are reviewed to make sure that those plans are meeting international building code, they're meeting state and city ordinances for fire protection requirements, and for all of the things that go into making the building safe for whatever kind of occupancy it is. And it changes if it's a school versus if it's just a lens. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, are there enough standpipes in the building if they're required? Is it sprinklered if it's required to have sprinkler heads? All of those issues are simple things like, is my exit sign out? Mm-hmm. Is that exitway blocked? Or is there exposed wiring? Anything that's going to cause a hazard, they're going to mitigate that on the front end. We set that up with the teachers and the principals will reach out to us, and we'll set the schedule to get out into the community and do that education piece. So that's a great part of it.
And you're involved with the water safety program also.
Yes, so that falls as well under fire prevention. So Jake Waldschmidt, who is our division chief in fire prevention, he is on the Water Safety Coalition. So, and that's a great organization. It's definitely an area that we continue to focus on. And as a city,
mayor is very concerned about the lack of an emergency room on the east side and side of town. I know that he's talked about a couple of things that would involve the fire department, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that you've been in discussions with him.
Sure. So that ties back into when we talked about call volume. So where do we see an increase in call volume, and you know, how can we put our fingers on the things that have changed? Well, that the closing of the emergency room in downtown Kenosha is definitely something that's had an impact on the community. It impacts the fire department and our firefighters, not completely out.
Sure.
And then when they can't handle that type of call because it's an urgent care, the former ER pick up that person and then transport them. So there's an increase in call volume there. I think more importantly, how I'd like to address this, and when you think about it, it's not just the increase in call volume, it's the onto a stroke call, and they look at certain benchmarks of how long did it take us to get there? How long did it take us to recognize the symptoms of the stroke? When did we provide certain drugs that you should provide if somebody is having a stroke? It lays out those benchmarks and it evaluates Kenosha Fire against those benchmarks. We are a CONSIS program, and it's in a National CARES Cardiac Registry is essentially what it is. And they look at national and state averages. And I would say in 2020.
One of the reasons you remain in an urban area as you're aging is that you have access to quality health care. And then I'm not going to knock anything. Depending on, as I got older and older, given family history was now way further away. So the statistics you just gave me, in them like 8 months to get a new car that they ordered, nothing to it compared to what you're facing.
It's we actually have four rescue squads that right now had been on order for almost 2 years, and we're waiting, and that's to replace aging units that we have in our fleet. So it has an impact there. But we look ahead and we're dealing with that for their future replacements, ordering earlier
well in
and
advance,
earlier.
Sure. Yeah,
they have forward-looking infrared, so they can detect heat signatures. And we deploy those. One is on the battalion chief's car, and one is in the safety officer's car. And then we have a spare that we can rotate through wherever needed. And it gives us the capability on a couple different issues. You talked about the Water Safety Coalition, the dangers that we have on the lake. If we have a water call come in, that's another tool that provides that person.
Wow.
And so we can use them to locate somebody in the water. We can use them to assist PD if there's a missing person or out in the county, somebody, you know, we can help look over fields and we can look over the cornfields and the woods with that infrared capability. And we can also use it on a fire scene. So because it can detect heat, the incident commander can look at a larger building if this were the building on fire, and they can determine based on that heat signature where is the fire actually located in the building and where do we have to commit resources so we can put that fire out.
And see what the labels are.
The particular drones we have would be used outside, so it would be more for a rail car or a semi or something like that. But they do have that capability. So there are smaller drones that can do exactly what you just said. So how do we look at what's available technology-wise, and how do we change our tactics to young across the board? So when you look at training,
important.
You have the NFPA that puts out some training. You have the National Fire Academy that will also do training. We've been using the Illinois Fire Institute lately. So they have been coming up here, and they specialize in different training methods. And that's the outside resources that we have. Internally, Gateway Technical College is one of the places that we part from other places. How do I help my department? How do I get better? I'd like to take a little moment to talk about community relationships, right?
Oh,
so,
yes.
So part of firefighting, it's a reactive approach. Event happens, bad thing happens, somebody calls 911, we show up, we take care of it. That's the model, and yeah, we're going to continue that model. That's something that we have to have. We have to have that approach because you can't prevent everything. But I would like to get more involved on the proactive side. Where do we get proactive, and you know, where do we focus? So we have that here. It's right in our community. And so how do we make that better for the citizen? And one of the things we do is KFD will partner with the county health. After we have an overdose call, we refer that individual. It's voluntary. They say yes, and we show up and we help them get connected with the programs that are going to help them, you know, beat that addiction. And it's a partnership, and it's something that I think is much needed. It's something that we have to do. In addition to that, we have Narcan distribution. Some people think it's controversial. I don't know where the controversy is in saving a life. So that's our position, and I'll take immediate response. I can connect you with other community partners that can help after the fact. You know, the people that are going to link you up with food assistance or healthcare resources, mobility. And I did see that the ADRC is a sponsor on one of your, so Aging and Disability Resource Center.
Yes.
Great organization. We partner with them for falls.
Yes, and fall prevention, sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that partnership with him, as well as, you know, Public Works. We talked about the police department already. Those internal partnerships, and then the external partners that we have. When my resources are overwhelmed, I look to our neighbors. We train. I will say that the Kenosha Fire Department, we do emergency medical response and we do fire suppression. When it comes to those specialty events, if you have a hazmat call, we are going to rely on the county hazmat team, and it's built of people from the county fire departments, and they combine to make this county hazmat team, and that's me. Can you please come help? Automatic response is if we get a call on the interstate in a particular area, and we know that that's a difficult area to be in, or you know, it has different aspects that we want an automatic response. Bristol will automatically send us one of their engines or their med units, or Paris will do the same. And so we work on those agreements as well.
Now, is that something, when you say automatic, how automatic?
And quickly, I had a lot more here to talk about, and it's just there's so much that happens on the Kenosha Fire Department and a lot that goes on, and there's a lot to talk about.
We'll have to have you back again.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much. We've been talking with Kenosha Fire Chief Daniel Tilton, and I'm Jane Herring for Community Matters.